and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
Good morning. Just wanna share my heart with you today. The Lord compares the kingdom of heaven like a seed, you know, that, you know, it falls to the ground. And a seed always is a truth of who he is for us. And when we cultivate and we spend time in that truth that he's revealing to us, it becomes revelation. It becomes an experience that produces a transformation. So I just want to talk about seeds that the Lord has been putting in my heart since before the pandemic. And I just see a glimpse. Is there still underground? But I see a glimpse of what I feel is coming to the body. So I just want to share with you this. So three Bible verses have been resonating so much, especially a word, unveiling, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. In Revelations 1:1, just want to read it to you. I'm a little bit nervous, but it's okay. But at the same time, I'm very joyful, so... So this is the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to share with his loving servants what must occur swiftly, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:18-19, it says, I am convinced that any suffering we endured is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. So with the unveiling of the Lord comes glory. And it so speaks to me of our identity in Christ. And the manifestation of who he is in our lives. And I just feel like, you know, the Lord has times and seasons that he speaks to us. You know, there is time that he has speaking about faith, sometimes about Father's heart, and another things about grace. And I just feel that this is the time where the unveiling of the glory of the Lord, it is really, really coming. It's an expectation that it feels. I don't know about you guys, but it is something big. It's big, right? An expansion in who he is and who we are in him is coming. So I don't know how to explain. So John 17:1. I just love the... the book of John, because it reflects so much the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Father. And that's so, it's just beautiful. It's just revelation. I just, you know, the Word of God is God. The Word of God is God. When we read the Word of God, you know, we're for an experience. We experience the Lord. It's just revelation. Because when we read it, looking for a person, the person of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it comes alive. I'm going to read several verses of John 17, and I asked my husband, I just want to make sure that I theologically I was right in this. So, but in verse number 1 says, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up to heaven. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son so that I will magnify your glory. So there is an unveiling. Again, the word unveiling. And, verse 13 says, but now I am returning to you. So, Father, I pray that they will experience and enter into my joyous delight in you so that it is fulfilled in them and overflows. There is a joy and delight, and I think this is so much, you know, we hear and we may not understand the implication of what it is to be sitting in heavenly places, but this is his glory. This is his presence. Sitting in heavenly places, the Lord is releasing an understanding of what is sitting in heavenly places. And let's see. Verse 24. Father, I ask that you allow everyone that you have given to me to be with me where I am. Sitting in heavenly places. Then they will see my full glory, the splendor you have placed upon me because you have loved me even before the beginning of time. There is such a revelation of God's love, of the heart of the Father. When we say, at least when I think of heavenly places, I just think in a person. It's just a person. Heavenly places is a person. Heaven is a person. Yes, there is a lot of stuff in heaven, I know. But it's a person. He feels all in all. Verse 26. I have revealed to them who you are. And I will continue to make you even more real to them. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord is going to continue to make himself more real to us so that they may experience the same endless love. And it's all about his love that you have for me, for your love will now live in them even as I live in them. Yes, God's nature is love. That's why he created the universe. That's why he sent his Son. So that's the essence of who God is, his love. So the unveiling. The veil, when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn. So the veil of the temple separated the holy place, the earthly place, from the Holy of Holies to heaven. That was torn. So we can have access to heaven, right? So the veil is a symbol, it's a boundary between heaven and earth. And I'm just going to read this. A deeper understanding and experiencing the glory of his presence is going to increase in such a way that we will reflect the presence of God here on earth as it is in heaven in a very tangible way. That a deeper knowledge of the person of God the Father, his Son, and Holy Spirit is going to be unveiled to us. He knows how to love you in a very unique way. As nobody else can love you, as nobody else can satisfy you. And I feel this is the transformation that the Lord is bringing to us and his body here on earth. And Jonathan and I, oh my goodness, it was such a picture. Jonathan and I, we watched the documentary of Jonathan and Jesus. I don't know, is this guy Jesus from the Chosen? And do you know that this Jonathan, he goes everywhere and people come and hug him and he's unhugging. I said, Jesus, I mean, they see Jesus in him. They see Jesus. People, women cry, you know, and he consoles them. Oh my gosh, what a picture. What a picture of the church. What a picture of the body. What the Lord is taking the body of Christ. For Jonathan, Jesus, the Lord has opened doors. Open doors that you cannot imagine, even with politicians and everything. He's there. And everybody sees him like Jesus. I mean, you know, it's just like, wow, right? So this is what the Lord is doing. He's doing. We need to see. He's doing. He is revealing his Son to us. He's revealing the glory of the Father. He's revealing the love of the Father that is so freeing. Okay, all this that I'm sharing with you is so neat when the Lord just confirming your heart things. I went to Bethel this past August, you know, and it was we were leaving on a Sunday, and we were in the Sunday afternoon, and we were in the morning, and I was in worship, and I saw a vision. It was kind of a strange vision. I saw like a beam of light coming and enfolding Jonathan and I like in a capsule, and then from one side of the wing, I came in, and the other one, Jonathan. I'm just like, wow, what is this? This is weird. And then, Yeah. But I'm just going to go there. So I didn't know what to, you know. Sometimes the Lord showed me things that are so obvious, but I mean, it takes time for me to realize that. But but then I went to Reading, and I heard Chris Vallotton talking, and he started talking about the butterfly, that the Lord is taking the church from the caterpillar, the cocoon, to a butterfly. The Lord is going to transform us. I'm going to explain that. And then he says something that he was watching. Okay, so let me see if I can explain this. I'm going to do the other one. So the other thing that he was saying, and this was something that he was watching. He was watching on TV a rocket going up in the sky. And he see the thrusters, you know, when it is going to go to the stratosphere, see the thrusters needs to get down, fall down so the rocket can go, right? So all of this, when he was talking all of this, he just spoke to me so much about identity. And he explained the next part. I really like how this explained this. So we can live in two paradigms. We can live past to present, or we can live present to future. Past to present is the earthly dream, a realm, right? It's earth. The past will determine my present, right? Sometimes we get stuck in the past. And so what we see is very limited. Sometimes, you know, our experiences, what we lived, you know, it's almost like we're reliving it again. And that is speaking of an identity, right? But when we live from future to present, when we see Jesus and we know that we're seeing his glory, our vision of who he is and who we are expands. Expands in such a way that we're bringing heaven to earth, So what happened? We start seeing circumstances in a different way, even though they don't change, but we see different. You know, we see hope. We, you know, even people, like, you know, you see people, but you see Jesus in the person. It changed our whole way of seeing. So that's our heavenly identity. So identity is very related to the throne room, who is Jesus, you know. So I have so much. Give me a second. So let me see. So when he was sharing it, it spoke to me so much about identity and who we are in him and through him, that he is unveiling himself to help us to see our heavenly identity as his sons and daughters and the image of his likeness that everyone carries, instead of looking at our own limitations and lack. Divine identity is about the transformation from the caterpillar thinking, when we're only focused on ourselves, we only focus on what is happening now, right? To a beautiful butterfly that reflects God's glory, who he is. The revelation that the kingdom of God is within us. That the king is within us. So are those truths that the Holy Spirit deposits in our heart and we cultivate, it becomes a reality. It becomes presence. That the king is with us because we are sitting with Jesus in heavenly places and we have a heart-to-heart connection with the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So lately I have had two dreams with my earthly father, but they're very, very incredible because it was like God was speaking of identity and is helping me to leave some belief that I have about myself that is limiting me because God doesn't see me that way. So it's just like the Lord is doing that. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Nope. Because I don't know if I have time. Sorry. I have so much. Yeah. So 2 Corinthians 3:18. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, that all identity that we are grabbing to, like, we let go of that and we hear God says who he is for us and who we are for him. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces, and with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord when people see us, they see Jesus. We are being transfigured into the very image as we move from one bright level of glory to another. We have a progressive revelation of the Lord because we go from glory to glory, from knowing him in one aspect to knowing him in another one. He's filling us. He fills us in the place that we're lacking. Actually, the places that we struggle with, he wants to replace those places with his identity. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, we need to stay focused in order to receive revelation. Focus. Let's see. Sorry. So in the present future, we are knowing the mind of Christ, how he does things, and how he relates to us, his ways. And we are experiencing his heart for us instead of seeing our limitations. We see possibilities. We see a bigger picture. We experience expansion inside of us, and he overwhelms us with the way he loves us. And our dreams get bigger because we're seeing as God sees and understands. You know, there is a lot of words about, you know, start dreaming, right? Oh, yes. And you know that the bigger dreamer is God. The bigger dream that he has is to see his glory. Cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, that's his biggest dream. That's what he moves his heart. That's why he sends his son, because he wants that. And our view of people and circumstances in our lives change because we are knowing his mind and experiencing his heart. So that's why Matthew says, in Matthew 6:22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. In the Passion Translation reads, the eyes of your spirit allows revelation light to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light flows in. So our relationship with God is a relationship of heart to heart. In the Old Testament, there's so many references about God's heart and about our heart. So many references. So the Lord is very relational. And he's the Lord that helps us to focus on him. And he has it with such a beautiful and tender love. I just want to read this. John 1:17-18. That's a beautiful picture of Jesus about focusing on the Father. Moses gave us the law. The law was information. The law was not relational. But Jesus, the anointed one, unveils through wrapping tender mercy. He brings light through in our lives who he is in very tender way, in very, very tender way. It's wrapping mercy. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor except the uniquely, how do you say that? Uniquely? Oh, okay. Uniquely beloved Son, who is cherished by the Father and held close to his heart. So just picture Jesus. He knows that he's cherished by the Father. He's close to his heart. That's what the Lord wants to bring us to hear his heart beating, how he has beating for us. I had an experience last week. I have, you know, through FaceTime, you know, three friends, we were ministering to one of the friends, and my friend was ministering to the other friend, I start hearing a heartbeat. You know, like when you're pregnant and you go and you have ultrasound, that sound like tudun 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 tudun, and I thought, well, what is that? Maybe something in the room. There is something going on. So, but I thought, yeah, obviously this is an outside noise, you know. And then at the end, when they finish, I asked them, "Do you hear that?" They told me, "No, you didn't hear that. It was almost a minute that I was hearing that doom, 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 and it was mom I had. I know that." But oh my goodness, it's just like God highlighting. I want you to hear how my heart beats for you and for people. Jesus came to fulfill the law by making the law to be written in our hearts. He writes who he is in our hearts with his tender mercy, knowing that we are cherished by him. And he's holding us close to his heart for us, to hear his heart of love for us. And from that place in his heart, you are a reflection of who he is. And how, you know, you can touch others around. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, it says that no one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor. The word gaze in Hebrew is chasag, which means to see, to perceive, to contemplate with pleasure, look, behold. The idea of gazing or beholding requires more than a passing glance. It is purposeful contemplation of something so magnificent that you just can't take your eyes off it. That's how we see Jesus. And we see him, when I am reading this, there is a time that I can feel his presence, and I just am gazing, because he's more than beyond words. He just goes so deep into you. He goes beyond words. It's just like, and in worship, we forget about ourselves. We just focus on him, and everything that is waiting on us, it comes up. He gives us perspective, you know. So gazing is purposeful contemplation. Psalm 27:4 speaks of gazing upon the beauty of the Lord in this way. Here is one thing I crave from God, the one thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, the heavenly places, but his house right here too. This is his house. Finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. Finding the sweet loveliness of his face. Okay, sorry. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. Everything is possible with him. In the shelter on the day of trouble, that's where you find me, for he hides me there in his holiness. He has smacked me into his secret place, where I am kept safe and secure, out of reach from all my enemies. So this is the seed that the Father is planting now. As we learn what it means to sit in heavenly places with him and see his glory, it's just sitting at Jesus' lap and just listen to his heartbeat. And we hear him in worship, we hear him here, and we contemplate. So this is the year of open doors. Actually, like today, I mean, even there are going to be doors that are going to be open for you guys that you were not expecting. There is one that I was not really expecting at all, and it opened up, you know. Yes, so, but you know what? Apart from that, the doors that are opening is us. We are those doors that opens up so the King of Glory can come in. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door knocking. if your heart is open. And don't worry if you feel that your heart is not open, although you feel like you not even have a heart. Like I am not emotional. What do? I don't feel that way. But you know, God is God. He created you. And He knows how to get you. He knows how to love you. So don't worry about that. He's just saying, oh, Lord, yes, my heart is open. Show me what that means. You know, it's just being like little kids. You know what I mean? So, behold, I am standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door with him, I will come into you and feast with you and you will feast with me. Feasting is speaking about the abundance of who he is. He is our inheritance. We are his inheritance. Revelation 4:1. Then suddenly, after I wrote down this message, I saw a heavenly portal door open before me, and the same trumpet voice I heard speaking to me with me at the beginning broke the silence and said, ascend to this realm, into this realm. This is what the Lord is asking us, ascend to this realm. And the realm of heaven, the throne of heaven, I mean, and this is like, I just like gazing. It's just like, that's the revelation that is like, when I'm like, whoa, it's kind of like, but is where everything is possible. It's the releasing of his presence, like it's, when, I don't know, just... This is what the Father is doing. The Father is doing in this season. He's calling us to ascend, to sit with him in his lap, hearing his heartbeat for us and for others. That is what is bringing transformation. And I'm almost done. So, Psalm 24. It's just a psalm of the King of Glory. And it's interesting, that's the same psalm that says, it speaks about the open doors. Okay. God claims, this is the glorious King. This is the King of Glory. God claims the word is his. Everything and everyone belongs to him. That's how he sees it. Everything and everyone belongs to him. He's the one who pushed back oceans to let the dry ground appear, planting firm foundations for the earth. So the earth is his. Now, who then ascends into the presence of the Lord and who has the privilege to enter into God's holy place? Those who are clean, whose works are pure, whose hearts are true and sealed with truth. The Lord wants to seal us with the truth of who he is so we can be free. There is a freedom that is beyond when we're free in the Lord. It's just like, it's just a butterfly, you know. You can fly, you can see, you know what you were created for. You can flow the way you flow, and you can love the way other people's flow, and you can learn from others what others carry. It's just, you know, that brings unity. We understand. We know how to work each other with each other instead of pulling each other apart, right? Okay. So those whose hearts are true and sealed by truth, those who never deceive, whose words are pure, they will receive the Lord's blessing and righteousness given by the Savior God. They will stand before God, for they seek the pleasure of God's face. There is nothing about more wonderful than seeing God's pleasure on us and we bring in pleasure on him. That's like, whew. So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, your ages, doors of destiny. The Lord calls us. We are doors of destiny. He's calling destiny out of you. He's calling purpose in you. Welcome the King of Glory, for he's about to come through. You ask, who's the King of Glory? The Lord, armed and ready for battle, the mighty one, invisible, invincible in every way, the one that is victorious. So the glory of God is the presence of God. Sitting in heavenly places is a person. Heaven is a person. It's the person of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that fills all in all. From that understanding, the Father, Son veils the kingdom of heaven in us and what heaven is. But he, Jesus, is the door into the throne room, heaven, and the expression of his kingdom on earth. So now I'm going to read to you my version, my paraphrasis of Galatians 5:22-23. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the Lord. So just want to read this to you. Okay, just think about God speaking to you right now. I am full of love for you. Nothing can separate you from me from loving you. And then you will find how lovely you are. And you will see how lovely others are. Joy. I am your joy. I rejoice over you. You are uniquely made and I enjoy you. You bring joy to me. And as you experience my joy over you, your life is strengthened so you can strengthen others. Peace. I am your peace. And I am flooding you with my peace so that you can speak calm and peace to others. Patient. I am patient with you. I know the things that you struggle with. I understand. And I help you. I'm patient. And I take you through that. And I'm helping you to be patient with yourself. My patience is a reflection of my unconditional love for you. And then you will release my patience to others. Kindness. I speak kindly to you and in a very merciful way. When I correct you, it's in love, and my kindness transforms you. So your kind words and actions transform others around you. Goodness. I see goodness in you. I see my son. I see my own reflection. My goodness is chasing you all the days of your life so you can chase goodness and bring goodness to others' lives. Faithfulness. I love you so much to the point that I gave my precious son, that he just kind of redoing the whole thing. This, because I want you to, I'm going to start this one. Faithfulness. I am so faithful to you that I gave my precious son. So this faithfulness that I have for you produces a desire in you to be faithful to me and to be faithful to others. Gentleness. I know how you touch your heart in those places that hurt, in those places that are wounded. And my gentleness softens and melts your heart so that you, your gentleness, will soften and bring healing to others. Self-control. I am strengthening your spirit to flow with the perspective of my Father. To bring darkness by acting, to bring light to the darkness by acting the way I act. Okay, so so that's it. But I want to invite David here. The other day, we were at David's and Lindsay's house. I was not talking anything about this. He was talking. And everything he was sharing, I said, David, you're doing my teaching. That's what I am talking about. So, yeah.
I think you kind of touched on everything, and I mean, it's so powerful what you said.
Oh yeah, but I want you to. I want to hear you. Jesus.
Hello. There we go. Woo. I don't know if you heard it, but basically, yeah, everything you said to me is just incredible. I mean, you kind of touched the aspects of everything that the Lord's been showing me. But, you know, the thing I think that the Lord's been highlighting to me and talking to me repeatedly, almost on a daily basis, is about manna. And particularly, which is interesting about this, is that, you know, when the children of Israel were, you know, in the desert, the Lord was giving them daily manna for sustenance because there was no food. It's the desert, right? But in the same way that the Lord gave him fresh manna every single day and told him not to store it, there's power in that. Because the second day you don't relate to God on a daily basis on an experiential way, you start storing as theoretics. And the world is not looking for a theoretical gospel. They've had enough of that. And the Lord really wants to have a personal relationship with us, and this is where identity comes in. I mean, God, I mean, since the Lord told me I want to spend, you know, daily time with you, I've been going on walks every single day, and like every single time has been showing me stuff about myself that I'd completely buried. I'd completely forgotten. Just even like little minute things that I would never thought were important to anything getting done or anything, you know, being said. But yeah, I really think that the Lord wants to relate to us in a daily, personal way. And, you know, manna was meant to be eaten, not stored. And so God wants to have a very tangible, personable, you know, relationship on a daily basis. And really what he's going to be doing is illuminating each one of us, and that's identity. He's going to be showing us the particulars of who he made us, mm-hmm. what makes us tick, what's important to us. Mm-hmm. And in through that, we can actually see and understand and have grace for what everyone else carries. Because when you're comfortable with yourself, you can see others more clearly. And so, I mean, oh my God, there's such a momentum right now happening in the spirit that I'm like, I don't know, I feel like I had two coffees just now. I feel like I'm like, I got like energy beaming from my eyes. But anyway, it's, you know, I just really feel that this whole thing about open doors is multidimensional. Like, God is unlocking us, but at the same time, he's setting us up. And this setup, this setup is really going to be important that we're really plugged in on a daily basis, because the Lord is going to give us avenues and opportunities to not only highlight us, but actually put us on display so that we can show the heart of God, but not in a theoretical standpoint, not from I read this the other day, you know, not in a, you know, I went to Bible study, or I went to Bible college kind of way, but like the Lord just talked to me about this yesterday, and this is what it means to me. And that carries weight. It's not theoretics. And the funny thing is, when you speak about something that you experienced yourself, I've noticed this at work all the time. If I talk about, I'll actually kind of go off on a tangent for a second.
That's okay.
So the funny thing is, I work with a lot of coworkers, varying backgrounds. And I remember one time I was talking to this friend of mine, and she just kept on asking me all these questions because she was really interested in my answers. But all my answers came from a very personal place, so I didn't have a theoretical answer. She was so just, you know, taken by just the novelty of my responses. So basically, we were talking about crazy stuff like abortion. I mean, stuff in the workplace you shouldn't talk about, like abortion, you know, like, you know, homosexuality, all this stuff. She just asked me all these questions, and I just kept on giving her answers, particularly towards abortion. She said to me, "Well, David, what's your stance on abortion?" And I told her, "Well, I think all life is sacred. I think God made all of us, and he loves us all in a deep and personal way. And if I believe that all life is sacred, I have to believe that all life, including a conception, is sacred." And she looked at me and she was like, she just sat there and she was like, I don't think she agrees with me still, but I mean, I could see it. I could see those wheels turning. Like, whoa, you're not throwing a Bible at me. You're not telling me it's a sin. You're not telling me all this stuff. You're telling me that all life is sacred. Where did this come from? You know, which is really cool. And then that turned, anyway, I'm going to go off topic, but that turned into routine conversations of her just asking me questions. And I was just talking from what the Lord shared with me, not theoretical, not topical. And I think this is what's going to be happening this year. Mm-hmm. This is it. Don't give someone a cop-out answer. Give them something the Lord showed you personally. And that's, well, that's, you know, I'll give one last thing. Sorry. I have a lot the Lord has been sharing with me, and it's almost too much. we're really in an incredible time right now. There is another verse that's been popping in my head that says he's coming to separate the sheep from the goats. And I think what the Lord is doing is highlighting his people. You know, there's, you know, I don't want to go into negative things, but, you know, like there's sinister forces at work in the world. And the Lord is literally highlighting his people and creating those open doors. It's calling all of his people. And people think of that verse and they think the sheep are just people that are currently saved. They only think of the sheep as people that are currently in church, people that are going to church, people that read their Bible. You know, but really, the sheep is meant to symbolize everyone the Lord wants. He came to call all men to himself. Mm-hmm. And this is just, I don't know. I don't know if I explained it well, but I really feel like there's momentum. Mm-hmm. The Lord's doing something really big. Mm-hmm. And while we all have these daily experiences with God,
yes,
he's building actually a community identity, a cultural identity.
Yeah, his presence is increasing. You know, so that's where our focus is, have to be. Because he's going to increase in our lives. And we're going to feel and see him. And he's going to open his heart to us. Yes. So thank you, Father, for this time, for all that you are teaching us, for all that your purposes with us. And we just love you, Father. We just love you. We magnify you, who you are in our lives. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.